Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in the book of Ruth. We're going to be in chapter number 2 of the book of Ruth. Now, chapter 2 begins with the formal introduction of Boaz. The first chapter is full of famine and funerals, and no mention is made of Boaz. But things are about to change drastically. Even as the Christian's life changes after meeting Jesus Christ, Ruth is on her way to a dramatic overhaul. The focus begins to clear up. Ruth is mentioned 12 times in these 4 chapters, while Boaz is mentioned 22 times in 3 chapters. So let's look first of all at the kinsman, verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, the Bible does not tell us how Elimelech and Boaz are related, but a good guess is that they are cousins. The Jews consider relatives who are second cousins to be immediate family. But looking forward to Boaz's genealogy, we observe the source of his wealth. Let's turn to chapter 4 of the book of Ruth. And in verses 18 to 22. Now these are the generation of Phares. Phares begat Hezron. And Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon. And Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So we see, first of all, that Boaz's father is Salmon, who, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, is married to Rahab, the former harlot that we find in Joshua chapter 2. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Amen. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 5, as we look at the genealogy of Christ, as it's given here in Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 5, we see, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Of course, that's Rahab the harlot of Joshua chapter 2. We also see that Boaz's grandfather is Nashon. Let's see about Nashon in Numbers chapter 2 with me. We're looking here a little bit at the family tree of Boaz. Numbers chapter 2 with me. Numbers chapter 2. And in Numbers chapter 2, we want to look at verse number 3 together. Numbers 2, verse 3. We read, and on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies, and Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. We continue to read about him. in Numbers chapter 7, verse number 12. We read, "And he that offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab of the tribe of Judah." So we say we see that Nashon was the son of Amminadab, and he was of the tribe of Judah, amen? The tribe that David came from, amen? King David. And then in Numbers chapter 10 with me, Numbers chapter 10, in 11 through 14. "And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And in the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah, according to their armies. And over his host," amen, "was Nashon, the son of Amminadab." So we see that Nashon, in other words, was put over the armies of Judah. And then we see that he is called, Nashon is called the prince of the tribe of Judah in the book of First Chronicles, chapter number 2 in verse 10. First Chronicles 2, verse number 10. "And Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, prince of the children of Judah." So we see that Boaz's great-grandfather is Amminadab, whose chariots are mentioned in the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 12. And in the context there, in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 12, the connection is with the rapture. Now, let's look at that just for a moment. This Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon with me, if you would. We'll be coming back to the book of Ruth in just a moment. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and verse 12, it says, "Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab." So we see there that the chariots of Amminadab are mentioned, and in the context it has to do with the rapture. Now, we want to see three things about Boaz which match Jesus Christ. First of all, he is a kinsman. Amen. He is a kinsman. And Christ was our kinsman. He was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Also, we see that Boaz, he is a mighty a man of wealth. And we're told in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 50, in verse 10, it says, "For every beast of the forest is mine," referring to God, to the Lord, "and the cattle upon a thousand hills." So wasn't Jesus Christ a mighty man of wealth, as was Boaz. And then we see that there he is, Boaz, as Christ was, he's from Bethlehem. Now, as we return back to chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, now we want to turn our attention to the gleaner in verses 2 and 3. "And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field, and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her harp was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So let's turn our attention to the gleaner, who was Ruth. Now, evidently, Ruth understood that God did have a provision in place, but it depended on her willingness to work. Let's look at Leviticus. See the command of God that was given in the Leviticus chapter 19 and verses 9 and 10. The Word of God says, And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleaning of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou garner every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. So God, we see, made provision for the stranger and the poor in the land. So when the harvest came, those that were in the harvest were told to leave something behind. So that the poor and the needy and the stranger could feed themselves. But again, those poor and those strangers had to actually go out and work. Amen. It wasn't just handed to them. They had to go into the field and they had to glean the harvest. That was what was left there for them to take. It was just not handed to them. So Ruth understood this, that there was provision in the place, but it depended on her willingness to work. Notice with me, if you would, what Paul said concerning work in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul had this to say as he wrote this second letter to the believers at Thessalonica. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10, he said, For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So we see that Ruth understood there was provision there, but it wasn't just going to be handed to her. She had to go out and work. It depended on her willingness to work. In spite of being a Moabitess, Ruth appears to be the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31. We'll see that a little bit later. So we're looking at the gleaner. We want to consider some things about the gleaner, Ruth. First of all, her condition. Ruth left home and family only to face poverty. But she severed all ties to Moab and knit her heart to God and his people. So we see that she's a Jew at heart, amen? And she's a great example of what the Word of God says over there in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Word of God says, Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So she put things behind, she put the past behind, and she pressed forward. Amen. And then we see also she is living the very difficult truth of what Paul wrote about in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And so she was a great example of that, to be content in whatever state that she found herself in. Amen. Next, as we consider the gleaner, Ruth, we not only want to consider her condition, but also her character. Her character. Now, she made a promise that she would forsake her people and her gods to go with Naomi. Now, even in the face of adversity, she's not going to turn back. Amen. As we look at her character, we want to notice a couple of things. First of all, her humility. She goes out into the field and labors, identifying herself to others as a widow who is poor. Twice we read in the Word of God, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 33, and Proverbs 18, verse 12, we read, before honor is humility. So here we see her humility. She humbled herself. She didn't try to cover up who she was or where she came from, amen. She let it be known right out there. She humbled herself. And then we also want to see, notice about her character, not only her humility, but her industry. Notice she begins her work day early in the morning. Chapter 2, verse 7. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. So we see that she began her day early in the morning. And she seems to be following in the footsteps of another wonderful prototype. And we see that person, that prototype in Genesis chapter 24. In Genesis 24 and verses 16 through 22. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. And of course, this is Abraham's servant, who he sent to find a wife of from Sarai's family for his son Isaac. So we see the servant of Abraham, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. So not only did she give Abraham's servant a drink of water, but she also has volunteered to water his camels. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels, a weight of gold. And of course, the person this passage is describing is the future wife of Isaac, none other than Rebekah. Now, as we continue here in chapter 2 of Ruth, we want to look at the inquiry. in verses 4 through 7. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that were set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, and she tarried a little in the house. Now we see the Boaz's first words here are, The Lord be with you. And this finds its fulfillment, amen, in Matthew chapter 1, in verse number 23. Matthew 1, verse 23, we read, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. So we see here we see the fulfillment, the literal fulfillment. The Lord be with you. Jesus Christ was called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God manifest in the flesh, was physically on the earth. Now Boaz, a type of Christ, made sure he reminded his people that a true kinsman redeemer was on his way, amen. Then we see, amen, he says, Whose damsel is this? This type fits very well in the instance because the Lord loved us before we were even born, amen. Looking in Romans chapter 5. So the first thing that Boaz says is the Lord be with us. Amen. And we see that fulfillment in the birth of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. So here he is reminding the people that the true kinsman redeemer is on his way, is eventually going to come someday. Amen. And then he says, Whose damsel is this? And we were saying how he being a type of Christ, Boaz, fits very well in this instance because the Lord loved us before we were born. Look at it in Romans chapter 5 with me. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, in verse number 8, But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Now we see that Ruth has attracted the attention of Boaz and will soon be grafted into a good tree. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49 with me in verse number 6. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now he's talking, amen, in the context, he's talking to the Jews, amen, that they would be a light to the Gentiles. And also Christ being a Jew, he also was a light, amen, the light of the world, the light unto the Gentiles also, because the Jews rejected the light. Just as Boaz is a type of Christ, amen, and just as Christ would be described here in Isaiah, a light to the Gentiles, so Boaz was a light. Boaz, a type of Christ, was a light to Ruth, a type of the church. Also, we see that she would soon be grafted into the good tree. Amen? She would soon be married to Boaz, just as the church will be grafted in, has been grafted into Christ. Romans chapter 11 with me. Romans chapter 11 in verse 24. In Romans 11 verse 24, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So we're grafted in, amen. We're grafted into Christ, just as Naomi would be married, as the church will be the bride of Christ, married to Christ, espoused to Christ. Soon here we're going to see that Ruth will be married, amen, to Boaz, a picture and type of, again, Boaz is a type of Christ, Ruth is a type of the body of Christ, the church, amen. So we see then, again, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more, he's talking to the Gentiles here, Paul, he's saying, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, which is Israel, be grafted into their own olive tree? And of course here, he's talking about that God isn't through with Israel yet. Amen. God is not through with Israel. The only reason that the church was able to be grafted into Christ is because of Israel's unbelief. But God will deal with them. Amen. Begin to deal with them during the tribulation. Now, we want to look at the and Ruth chapter 2, the invitation here that Boaz is going to give to Ruth. Now let's read down verses 8 through 12. I may not have time today to comment on them, but next time we're together we'll continue the study. But we see the invitation here. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on his face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So here we have the great invitation of Boaz to come glean in his fields. And when we come together again on the pastor study next time, I'll comment on those verses 8 to 12 as we continue our study in the wonderful book of Ruth. Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today, and until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.